The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. We have a special guest here this morning, Wendy Libitor, and we're going to be talking about some subjects we did three times already. Anyway, good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, we're getting to spend so much time together that
yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, the Universal Preservation Hall finally opened. It was a success.
Yes, it was. Roseanne Cash was there. It was on Leap Day, a Kindness Day in Saratoga Springs. And we thought it might not open in time, but they did it.
But they did it. And, you know, it was a long haul.
Yes,
but
it
they
was.
They did a good job on that.
Yes.
I mean, they really did. I think Teddy Foster was the impetus behind all
of
this.
Yes, she worked for years and years and years to get the funding. Yeah. And she got the building stabilized, I don't know, several years ago. And then she was at a standstill for a long time. And right. Proctors came and rescued her and, put the pedal to the metal, got the money, renovated the place. It's a theater in the round.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I remember a theater in the round in Clifton Park. I forget what it was, Starlight Theater.
Yeah, that was in Latham.
In Latham. Yeah. I remember going there once to see, what's his name there, Bob Newhart.
Oh.
And what a great show that was.
Yeah.
He's one of the, he said before the show, he said, I want to tell you right now, you're not going to hear one vulgar word during my show. Because it seemed that comedians starting back then have to use foul language to think they're funny. But he was a riot. And no matter where you sat there, you always got to see him. You always got a good good view of the whoever the act was.
Yes.
So I hope this works out well.
I think it will. They have so many good people lined up. It's going to be all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's
it's just
good.
The parking that.
Parking.
Especially because across the street, Bethesda's building there.
Yeah.
New Parish Center, which will require more parking.
I know. Wasn't there an empty lot in the back there where the telephone company used to be?
But there's parking. There's a lot there for some of the. I think that might be Finger Paints. Finger Paints? Lot, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I meant more towards CVS.
Oh, okay.
You know that empty lot there?
Yes, yeah.
Telephone company used to be in there. I don't know if they are anymore.
I don't think they are.
So maybe. I don't know. The city should look at that because the city's run out of property.
Yes.
I think where the parking garage now is going down on Henry Street, I think that was the last city-owned piece of property that they could do anything with.
Right,
Was one of the big deals why they kept deciding whether they wanted to do that or not. And that certainly cut parking out downtown now.
Yes.
During the construction of that, I don't know how much it's hurting the businesses down there, but because they took out probably 100 or more parking spots. And while they're building this parking garage. So, I don't know. It's a big problem in Saratoga
Yes, it is. Is people who work downtown can't find a place to park. People who live downtown can't find a place to park their car for 24 hours overnight.
No.
It's and, of course, tourists will come into town and want to have dinner, and they're circling and circling and circling, and it's... And luckily, Peter Martin has, before he left office, he hired a consultant who's going to look at this and try to figure it out with input from the community. And people have strong feelings about parking.
I know. And I think one of the ways to go, I think, is parking meters on Broadway, and maybe even parking, paid parking in the parking lots, with a caveat that residents have a permit.
Yes.
And that was talked about too, because if you mention paid parking, you're going to get no, and we don't want that
right
from everybody.
Yes.
But, you know, we're a tourist city now. We're not the quaint little city with a nice Broadway. You know, we're a tourist city like Lake George, except we're year-round.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, you go to any tourist city, you go to Cape Cod, you know, all the villages or towns have parking meters.
Yes, they do.
Even Lake George.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think we're going to have to do something.
Well, and I think, too, that they need permits for the people who work downtown, because they're having to shut their stores up to run and move their cars and then run back.
Well,
because there's not enough parking for them.
No, there isn't. And if you stay more than 2 hours, you get a ticket.
Yes.
My feeling was always that you've got two parking garages right across the street from each other, kitty corner, and I always thought that the third floor of those parking garages could be used for employees. Now, maybe what they could do is pay a permit fee for the month, not expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can make it. I mean, you shouldn't penalize somebody for working downtown, but it would save them running out every 2 hours. So, you know, I mean, if it's $75 a month or whatever, I think maybe even the business would pick it up to keep the
right. That employed. And actually, I think a lot of the business want to talk to the city center about their new garage to try to do something like that. But whether or not it'll happen, that's another thing, because the city center says they need all those spots
right
that they're building.
And that's a paid parking garage.
Yes. And, you know, as they say, build it and they will come. And I'm sure that parking garage is going to fill right up now because there's not enough.
I think the first week it's open, you're going to find you're going to drive around that parking garage and not find a place. And I thought that, and I'm glad I'm not a councilman or commissioner, because I'd spend more money, you know, but I always thought it would be nice. You're going to have handicapped people or elderly people park in that garage. I mean, that's going to be a gimme. And to get them up to Broadway, because that's a hill that you have to climb.
That's a tough hill, especially in the winter.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's tough for an older person, even in the summer if it's hot out.
Yes, right.
I always thought maybe they could have a van, like a shuttle van, to bring people up, you know, maybe every half hour, and then you take them back every half hour. You know,
right.
You have a regular routine, but I don't think they do that. Probably the liability would be.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know who runs the little trolley in town during the summertime.
I don't know. I think it's one of the city departments, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's probably, it's got to be one of the city departments because I know Upstate, the bus company, and Geyser Road has two of them that they'll use for weddings, and ride them up Broadway and down Broadway, but I don't know. It's a problem. It's always been a problem in Saratoga.
Yes, yes, and it's only getting worse.
But they don't seem to care. They keep building.
Yes, they do. We're getting more condos, more apartments, luxury.
Luxury.
Forget affordable.
Right.
And, you know, there's no care for the people who live here. Who they can afford it. It's all to attract well-heeled people from New York City or Boston or
Long Island.
Yes.
A lot of them you see coming up from Long Island because they can sell their houses for a good price down there, come up and buy an expensive condo and still have money, which, you can't blame them. I mean, Saratoga is a nice city, but if you knew what it was back in the 80s, you know, when I moved up, and it was just starting to really get, the Broadway was nice, and, you know, it was nice to take your family down and walk and get a slice of pizza in the store and sit on a bench and have it. You can't do that anymore. There's I don't think the pizza place is there because
it's too expensive.
Right.
They have to move to another part of town.
If figure you're paying $6,000, $7,000 a month for rent. Yeah. It's a lot of slices of pizza.
You know? Yes, it is. Yeah.
I always say you got to sell a lot of dresses to pay for your rent and make a salary. It's tough running downtown. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I see more empty stores now.
Well, the rents are high.
Yep, that they are. And it's not going to get any better because, like we said, you know, they're building 59-unit apartment structure right on Broadway. Yes. So, and there's no parking that had, you know, been planned for that. And I think it was as far back as Mayor Keene had, there was a rule, and it wasn't a charter law. It was a, I don't know what they call those, in the code, it was a code that for every apartment that you had, you had to have so many parking spots, like 1.5 for every apartment. Why 1.5? I don't know, but that got tossed out.
Bad idea.
Bad idea. Bad management. You know, sometimes these planning boards are coming under a lot of fire lately.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, it's
because they're building, they're paving every conceivable spot in Saratoga and building up on it. And now they're going to start going into the west side of the city, building up there,
and that's
subdividing on Beekman Street and Walnut and Oak. And people over there already have to park on the street because a lot of those little houses do not have driveways.
They're older houses.
Without driveways.
Right. And one of the things, too, downtown, well, not downtown so much, over on the west side, is that huge apartment building next to the post office. And here again, I think that, see, I don't think they do traffic studies anymore. You used to have to do a traffic study. Now, they let Sonny Bonaccio build the apartment building on the corner of West and Church.
Yes.
Getting in and out of there is like, it's the most horrible place right now. You've got a huge medical building right across the street, and it's so close to the light that you go out of the parking lot, you can only be three cars in front of you, and you're half in the other lane.
Yeah.
So then they put this other apartment building across the street, and it's the same thing. You got to get out on West, and I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and what you find out when you don't have the right planning, I think you create a situation where people just don't want to go there.
Right.
It's too hard.
Right, yes.
And, you know, I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. Now, next door to our building on West Ave, they're building the condos starting at $400,000. And it has an indoor pool, but I don't know if that would make me pay $400,000.
No, I don't think so, yeah.
That 59-unit apartment on Broadway is being built on a 3/4-acre piece of property. 3/4-acre.
That's small.
Piece of property. So I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, like you said, they're building on the west side now. You know, there's 5 or 6 houses on a 2-acre plot, which that would never have happened years ago.
No.
And even the post office is going to create a traffic mess because you got a Stewart's on the corner and you have a Walgreen pharmacy and a Sunoco station.
Yes.
And that corner gets busy. You can't get out of Walgreens.
That's a very complicated spot.
So West Avenue isn't the Nirvana.
No, it used to be so just a quiet little area, West Avenue. It basically, whatever the builders want to do, it seems to be.
Oh, they can go.
As long as they like you in City Hall.
Yeah, and there's one developer that they're in love with, and anytime you go buy a new building, it's the signs right out front, and it seems like he can circumvent a lot of the channels that you have to go through to get your permits.
Yeah.
And that's pretty sad.
It is.
I know they're building something over on by the senior housing there, next to the senior center. Mm-hmm. They're building a whole new structure there. Yes. And I don't know if that's an addition to the senior.
That, I think, is supposed to be, yes, senior housing, okay. Affordable senior housing. All right. So at least that's affordable.
Yeah, because when they build something, you're supposed to have a percentage of affordable units. And what they consider affordable here is like $1,500 to $1,800 a month. Yes. So that's really not, I mean, your average worker downtown can't afford that.
No, they can't. That's why they have to drive in, and that's why they need a parking spot.
Exactly. You create problems by being successful.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you've built out so much, you can't accommodate things that you should, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to be a dishwasher downtown, which we have a lot of restaurants. I read an article once, this per capita Saratoga Springs has more restaurants than San Francisco.
Interesting.
Per capita.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think there's like over 150 restaurants in the area. So, I mean, you got a lot of workers that aren't making a lot of salary. And when they have to drive in from somewhere, they're using all their salary for gas.
Yes.
Plus their rent wherever they are.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's a problem that, isn't going to get better.
No.
Because we don't have managed growth here.
No, we don't.
Okay. What do you hear about opening a city hall?
Well, city hall, they're starting to move in.
They are.
Yes. The police administration has moved in, I believe, today.
Oh, okay.
They moved in, and some of the workers are going to be moving in all week. So they're going floor by floor, bottom floor, moving on up. So DPW will be on the second floor now. They're reshuffling everything.
Well, they're on the second. They used to be on the first.
And the bottom floor with the police. But I think that whole bottom floor is going to be police.
Well, that's
and
good.
And that's probably where Robin Dalton will be. They used to be up on the third floor with the court. So they'll have the courthouse. And, so they started moving in this week. I have no idea if they went over budget. I'm assuming
they might have.
You know, $10 million is a lot of money to have to pay for. Because I think only $3 million, the insurance was only paying for $3
million. Yeah, and I, every time you would go to, I would go into the agenda for the council meetings, and there was always a change order. For $100,000 here and maybe $50,000 there and $100,000 there. So I'm sure it added up a lot more. One thing surprises me, Gloversville, downtown Gloversville, if the buildings were done over and you opened your eyes, you would think you're in Saratoga. Same type of buildings. City Hall was the same City Hall. I think they had the same
architect
that did both cities. Because Gloversville used to be a very large town.
Yeah.
A very
large
city.
They were thriving.
City. Yeah. They had high 30,000 residents, and the businesses were really going good. Of course, they were the leather capital. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people worked at the GE when that was going strong. And we used to have a caller from Mechanicville that would call and kid me about the Yankees all the time. And she would say that her and her sisters used to get in the car and they'd go to Gloversville to have fun. Saratoga really wasn't the place.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to gamble, probably.
Right.
So, but they had a city hall like Saratoga has, but they ended up, when they decided they needed a new city hall back in the late 70s, they built a new city hall off of Main Street. But it was big enough. The police department was on one end, and the garage, the cars were able to park in a garage. So if it was snowy and that out, they could just drive out. But Saratoga is worried so much about taking things away from Broadway. That I think they probably could have built off Broadway and maybe used that as a museum. You know, I think instead of spending $10 million, you still have a building that's hard to heat. And it's...
Well, they got all new HVAC, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. And central air. They never had central air before. They had all those little air conditioners.
But
all new furniture. Everybody's
got... All new furniture.
This is why it ended up costing so much.
Well, yeah, but they still have the high ceilings, I would assume.
Yes, so, they do, right. And again, the insurance company would only pay for replacing what they had.
Okay.
Not
actual cost.
Not all these new things they wanted to add, like a new heating system, a new air conditioning.
And you're talking about a large building.
Right.
Yeah. Area for the dance hall upstairs.
Yes,
I mean, a lot of perks. And, you know, that it needed a lot of work before the fire, which I don't know. I think the fire was about a five-minute fire.
Yes.
And it was a lot of water damage.
That's
structural damage,
yeah.
But they wanted to take advantage of the opportunity. Now, there was a saying, and I don't know if it's true. It took 10 minutes for the fire department to get there, and they're only a block away.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know if that really happened.
I don't either, and I can't imagine that did happen. But.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because when Chris Mathiesen was Commissioner of Public Safety, he spent a lot of money renovating his area, like $1 million.
Even before the fire, this was, right?
Right, and then Michelle Madigan wanted to spend $750,000 fixing up her department.
Yeah.
So now they all got what they wanted. Yeah, you know, Michelle really was upset that it didn't happen before.
Right. Well, she got a $70,000 bathroom, somebody was saying.
Well, her whole thing was $750,000, and that included a bathroom.
Yeah. Well,
because she didn't like using the public bathroom.
Oh.
She
was too good for the
bathroom.
Yeah,
she wanted a private bathroom, you know, for her whole department. But
right.
She didn't want her workers to go out into the hallway and go to the public bathroom.
Well, that's too bad. I can imagine that. I could see where that would be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, they have a good girl that runs that finance department, though, Gilmet Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is so good. In that finance department.
Is she? Okay.
Oh, you don't know? Do you know
her?
No,
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. She's the one that keeps that department going. I mean, I know Michelle's supposed to be the end all, but if it wasn't for her, because she was, that was an appointed position. And she, when Mike Lenz was mayor, I think Matt McCabe hired her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Lenz was finance commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because Mike Lenz was finance commissioner for like 6 years before he became mayor. But she did such a good job that Mike changed that to a permanent position. And she is unreal, I'll tell you. She runs that department, basically.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, I mean, it's tough, but it's going to be interesting to find out what the cost was on that. And
yes.
I hope they're honest about
That's
it.
That's one thing I've been meaning to find out when I write my story about their moving back in.
Yeah, because they weren't very forthcoming on the cost as it was going.
Not the day-to-day, no. They just released the initial cost would be $10
million. Yeah.
Then they didn't give you any details after that. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to find out how much.
So here we go, another $7 million, let's say. Another $7 million tacked on to...
Right. And this is a problem because, you know, if Michelle wants to get more, borrow more money, you know, the cities might lose their bond rating. Not lose it, but... Have it reduced, right? Because the state's going to take away $2.3 million
on the VLT money.
Yeah,
Which I consider, actually, I consider her 8-year position as being incompetent. And my outlook on that is we lost the VLT money 9 years ago when Ken Ivins was finance commissioner. they did get money back. The governor did give us back half of the money. I think we ended up getting, what, $2 million or something like that?
It was originally $3.3 million, okay. And the governor restored it to $1.5 million the following year.
All right, but they had to raise taxes.
8%.
8%.
And they had about 30 people laid off.
Yeah, and it was a terrible time. And he took the brunt of that because he had to raise taxes. People said, oh, my God, you're raising taxes 8%. One of the things, Saratoga, is with this form of government, people don't get involved with it, so they don't understand. I don't think they understood why he had to raise taxes.
Yes, right.
Now, the current commissioner, we lost the VLT money now, or it's in the budget.
Yep, lost it again, likely.
Right. And now the governor may give us some money back, but it probably will be half of what, it seems like they give us half of what they put in. Now, you had said that the three commissioners went to Albany to plead.
Yes, they spoke with the joint legislative panel on the budget on this topic, and they just kind of pleaded poverty, and it appeared that none of the assembly members or senators were sympathetic to them. You know, Michelle said, you know, it's 11.8% of our taxes might have to go up that high to make up for it. It's 5% of our budget. And they didn't really plead saying, look what Saratoga does for the state.
Right.
Give us the money so we can continue to be the jewel in upstate New York.
And a big,
you know, instead they just said, we're poor, give us the money. They didn't, I'm not sure that was the best tactic.
No, and they weren't sympathetic because you can't tout yourself as one of the top 10 cities in the country.
Right.
And
for wealth and status.
For wealth and status. And then
complete poverty.
And not have a tax increase for 8 years.
Right.
I think anybody that has any kind of thoughts is that if you don't raise taxes for 8 years, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, you are.
And if you're if you have a problem like losing your money, that's shame on you.
Yeah.
Because she was warned 9 years ago when she
by Ken Ivins,
Ken Ivins, and then when and by Scott Johnson to plan for this to happen again. Don't plan on this money every year, and she never did that. And she kept using, as you had mentioned before, the fund balance.
To keep taxes down.
Right.
Which constituents love. That's why they keep voting for her in.
Well, of course. Who likes a tax increase?
Right.
But you can do one in 8 years. You could do a 1% every 2 or 3 years. I mean, something. But it's going to come back to bite us, I think.
Yes.
And
it could be a large tax increase, although she said she's not going to do anything immediately and that she will not be getting rid of any current employees. So there could be a tax hiring freeze.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how they could still make up the deficit there.
Right, I mean, because if she took it out of the fund balance, that would pretty much deplete the fund balance completely.
Oh, definitely. So. And I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, that amount of money.
Right. I don't know.
$2.3 billion is a lot of money to lose from the state's 5% of the city's budget.
Yeah, I just think that shows not good planning because you knew that happened once and that it could happen again. I mean, that's not a given that we get that money every year. So
yeah.
I don't know, but I'll blame that all on her.
Yeah, well, when you have to run every 2 years, I'm sure that's what she was keeping in mind.
Oh, yeah. I can't raise taxes.
Right.
That's a bad word. Mayor Kelly hired her niece for a city hall position.
Yes,
correct?
For a communications manager. And this is kind of shocking because she doesn't really have that kind of experience. And this is after when Mayor Meg Kelly won, she had her niece hired by John Frank. And so she did a job for John Frank at $47,000 a year. Now she's making 68. She jumped up to 68 with this communications job.
And with that, they always say that at least 55% of your salary you can add on for benefits, mm-hmm. health insurance, retirement, and that. So, you know, that's not a bad little deal there.
No. And it's interesting, too, because her niece was the one that was in trouble with the supervisor in Milton who she worked for. She sued the town, and part of the settlement was they were going to give her a county job.
Oh, my God.
So she's she goes, yeah. So it's interesting that she doesn't seem to get jobs on her own.
Right.
She either, you know, I mean, granted, what happened to her in Milton, she apparently was harassed.
Yeah.
You know, she had by Dan Luza, the supervisor.
Yeah. Well, you know what? God forbid we get a change of government, because everybody says how bad the city manager form of government is, because, you know, you'll get a lot of this, and look what happens. Saratoga has more nepotism.
Right, because Skip Scirocco's son works for the city, and, you know, he doesn't have a license, and his job requires a license, but it's okay.
Yeah. And you have not, and they're a great family, don't get me wrong, but you have,
they don't have beaches. He doesn't have a clean license.
Right. A clean license. Yeah. Let's say that. Yeah. And then you have the Veach family, which they're a great family. Don't get me wrong, but you had three or four of them. Well, the police chief just retired, but, and then you have the Kogan family who were in the fire department. So they're, you know, that's what I said earlier, that the commission form of government lends itself to things like this, because, you know, it's usually run by business people. Mm-hmm. And back in the days, you had to know somebody to get a job. And if you became a committee person in the party, you know, they would reward you. So that's what happens. You get a lot of nepotism, and I don't see how they can say that's going to happen in a new form, because it's already going on.
Right.
So that's too bad. Well, maybe I could say, if I was younger, I could have said that I'm her nephew, so
yeah.
Maybe I could have gotten a nice job.
That's right.
One of the things that really really gets me going is the lifetime benefits for elected officials. Mm-hmm. If you work for the city for 10 years, if you're elected as a commissioner, which is 5 terms, you get health insurance for life starting at age 55. And premiums on that are between $25,000 and $30,000 a year. That's current. So, I don't see why elected officials should get that kind of a perk. I mean, they're supposed to run for office to benefit the city, you know.
Right, and it's supposed to be a part-time job. It's not like a full-time city employee.
Exactly, and I don't understand that. And former Mayor Scott Johnson one time brought up the idea for a discussion on this, because it's not in the city charter, so you could have a council meeting and make a proposal, vote on it if you want,
and eliminate it.
So he brought it up, and just for discussion, and he couldn't get a second on his motion, not even from members of his own party. And he was really surprised. He said it was just discussion, and he couldn't do it. Nobody wants to touch that.
Yeah.
I think it's too good of a golden carrot.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Because I think once you are elected, I don't think you think you're ever going to lose, you know?
Mm. Well, I don't see how they could not think that, but because it's, we do have a lot of turnover, at least for the mayor.
Right, for the mayor.
And public safety.
Yeah, public safety. But usually, well, like the last commissioner, Peter Martin, only had one term. He didn't want
anymore. No, he didn't want to. Once he got in there, he saw how complicated it was to get anything done.
Right. Working with other commissioners. So he got a little irritated and left. But, you know, your accounts, finance, commissioner, and public works have been there for years. And now this commissioner finance, this is her 10th. Her fifth term, and when she gets through serving it, she'll qualify for those health insurance benefits. John, Commissioner of Accounts, had qualified for it years ago. Commissioner Scirocco gets it, but that's through his employment with the city.
Right.
And that was a contracted thing, so you
right.
can't
he
blame
was the
that.
City employee for years.
Right. And so Mayor Kelly's in her second term, and Robin Dalton's in her first term. But I don't see how that can be left like that.
Well, Michelle Madigan said she did not run to get health insurance. That is why. And we'll see how hard she fights if this ever does come up. Mayor Meg Kelly said when she ran that she would consider it.
Right. And
whether or not it ever comes up is another thing. So.
Well, Mayor Kelly said a lot of things
yes.
when she was running, and
especially the first time that she did not keep her promise on. So
exactly,
like the park where the parking garage is placed.
Right, where the parking garage is placed. She really
and the hospital.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The same Morgan Street group. She promised them that she would vote against that.
That's
and
right.
The first thing she did was vote for it because she got the money from the developers. And,
that's right. The hospital backed her.
Yeah.
To get back in there. So.
And I don't know. And I want to get on that to see if you heard anything, an update on that, but. I spoke to Commissioner Dalton when she was on the show, and I said, you know, you're probably the only one that can bring this up right now, because the mayor said 3 years ago that she would bring it up, and she hasn't, about eliminating the life insurance benefit. And she said she would look into it and try it, but I think that was a blowing smoke, because I don't think she would bring it up.
No, because... the other people on the council will not like it, so she won't even bring it up. I'm sure she won't bring it up.
No, and I think that's why Kelly didn't bring it up. I mean, she knew Madigan was qualifying for it.
Right, and Michelle Madigan holds the purse strings of the city.
That's right.
And if you want anything, you have to be on her good side.
Oh, exactly. And she'll let you know it, too.
Yes, she's not afraid to... speak her mind.
Oh, no, even to constituents.
I mean,
she'll have you removed from a council meeting if you disagree with her during your two-minute session. But I know that she pledged when she ran, now this is Michelle Madigan, that she wasn't running for benefits. So if I was her, I would say I'm not going to accept them because I ran on the...
maybe she should bring it up at the council meeting.
I would
not
think
Robin
so.
Dalton.
Not Robin Dalton, no. Yeah. What about the Save Morgan Street group in the hospital? I know they voted for the next stage, was it?
Okay, well, I don't know the latest on that, but all I know is those people are going to be sandwiched in
terrible.
Between the hospital... and this giant building
right.
that John Franco is likes to say is bigger than the White House.
Yeah. Well, he was the only one voted against it.
Right. And they're going to be hearing blasting 24/7
right.
as they try to build that place.
Lights all night.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel sorry for those people buying a house that wasn't cheap over there. Even a development is
That's
over
right.
there with the owner of the property, and he's moving.
Yes, right.
So that goes to show, you know, what he thinks of the deal he made with.
That's right.
With the hospital, and I don't feel that they should have been allowed to do that. We certainly have enough professional buildings in that area, with. Down in the valley there, it's Care Lane. I mean, you have a lot of professional medical people there. And with One West, and then the building next to One West, and they went to draw the top people in the country there, which
I think a lot of it had to do with Medicare, because Medicare won't pay as much as if the building isn't a certain distance to the hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they did it. Of course, this rule could change at any moment.
Right.
And then it won't matter where it's positioned, or they'll make it closer.
Right.
And then they'll have to tear down houses in between. I don't know, but I think a lot had to do with the Medicare
and
reimbursement.
Reimbursement. And they did affiliate themselves with Albany Medical, too, I think.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
Which is having its own issues with nurses being, you know, the understaffed, underpaid, while these medical administrators, you know, make $1 million a year.
Keep their increases, and maybe we'll look at that happening in Saratoga.
Yes, they do make a lot of money, those folks.
Sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure, and something has to go, and usually it's not the higher-ups, you know.
No, right.
I always say that in a school district. I mean, you know, they talk about teacher layoffs or cutting back programs for children. I won't vote for a school budget unless there's administrators that are cut. I mean, that never happens.
Right.
But, I mean, when I went to school, we had a principal and a vice principal.
Yes.
And we had a big school. And now you've got probably 6 principals and 5 assistant principals. And I don't know.
Right. And it doesn't help, too, that the state continues to add mandates on top of these schools.
Right, right. And that's probably why they have more and more, because of the mandates.
There's so many things they have to keep track of. It's unbelievable.
Well, I know my wife was a special ed teacher, and she retired about 3 years ago. And the last 5 years, the mandates on reporting for reimbursement for the kids that she had got so much time that she had to put into this that was less time she could spend with the kids. And that was one of the reasons why, because she probably could have hung on another couple of years.
Yeah, a lot of teachers left because of that.
Yeah.
Besides their salaries not going up, you know, it's.
No, I know. It's a hard, the state mandates too much. I mean, we lost our county nursing home because they were reimbursing the county in $1980. So I don't know any business where you sell a 2000 and maybe back 2010, 2012 product and only get paid in 2080 or $1980 that you, how long you can make it. So mandates do a lot. So we did the lifetime benefits, which may not happen. The UDO?
Yes. Now that's where they're going to be probably. The city now is casting in stone a new zoning ordinance. They call it the United Development Ordinance, and that's going to change the landscape of the city even more. With, like, again, more development on the west side, with subdivisions in residential areas, as well as increasing the height of buildings on Broadway. So more buildings or taller buildings, probably more apartments and, you know, luxury apartments and condos, more problems with parking, you know, all, it goes back to parking again. But a lot of people are upset about some of the things that they're doing in the UDO. I want to look into what they're doing with the Greenbelt Trail, you know, because perhaps the UDO is going to allow development on the Greenbelt Trail, which would kind of defeat the purpose of the Greenbelt Trail.
That they supposedly wanted to protect for years.
Right.
We would never do anything with the Greenbelt. And,
right.
Yeah, they're kind of two-faced. I mean, it's terrible with all the building going on. It's a tax on our infrastructure. They eliminated the water hookup fees that developers had to pay to tie into, you know, sometimes 80-year-old water lines and sewer lines, and here they had an income for that, and Skip Scirocco brought it up at a meeting. I don't even think there was a public hearing on it.
No, yes, and they eliminated it, saying it was redundant, and they did that to sort of get rid of a lawsuit.
Yeah.
That was, you know, there was an investigation at the comptroller's office on what they were doing, and, you know, they got rid of the fees to make it look like, well, it's no big deal, and we don't really need the money. And then the comptroller's office got off their backs on it. So,
which is crazy. Yeah. I don't know. But, well, and anyway, I know you'll stay on top of these stories.
I try. There's an awful lot to stay up on. There is. Top on. So that's why I'm not always up to date on everything.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. I mean, they try and pass things in Saratoga to try so people can't understand what's going on, I think. And, and as I said to one of the, I can't think of who it was, one of the commissioners was on, and she didn't agree with me, but I said there's a lot of apathy in Saratoga. I mean, if you see how many people vote in Saratoga, it's a very bad sign of people wanting to know what's going on in government, because it's nowhere near what the percentage is in other cities.
Yeah.
And it's sad. So people don't know what's going on. They'll never complain.
Right, because they feel it's going well. Again, their taxes aren't going up. As long as their taxes don't go up, they don't pay attention. And they don't care that the mayor hires her niece or that the you know water connection fees for the developers go away. Or
the commissioner of public works son was DUI and had to be chauffeured to work. They don't care about that.
And he's still being chauffeured.
And the gentleman that's chauffeuring him is making 60-some thousand a year. Yes. And they don't care about that.
Right.
All right? And so you can talk, and I was told, oh, no, there's no apathy. People care. And, they don't. How many people go to a council meeting?
Right. And when they do go to a council meeting, they're not particularly. I can't tell you the number of council meetings I went to on the hospital, and person after person came up and begged not that the hospital build.
They don't care.
They
don't listen to the constituents. You have a commissioner throw people out of meetings because you disagree with her, that's not a very good sign of how you treat people that either elected you or that vote. Right. You know. I want to leave with with just one last thing about the budget, because it's going to be an important thing.
Yes.
But now this year's budget, Michelle Madigan lowered the tax rate by 0.05%, which I think was a nickel. So she lowered it so she could say she lowered taxes, never raised them. And the quote in the Saratogian newspaper by her was, "This unexpected loss of VLT aid will force the city to consider an immediate tax levy increase of 10 to 12%, 5 to 6 times the state's property tax cap." So it's going to hurt.
Yes. I don't know how she will manage this. It will have to be addressed. Of course, they're going to fight right up until April 1st, because April 1st is when the state will decide.
Yep,
so I guess April 1st we'll know which way it's going to go for Saratoga.
Right. But I can almost guarantee you that it'll be a cut.
I think so, too, because the Saratoga acts like it doesn't need it.
I know.
Even though they do. And, and Yonkers is a hurting place.
Well,
They're keeping it for the hurting places.
And the state is suffering. I mean, there are, I don't know how many hundreds of millions their deficit is.
Right, and Medicaid is killing them this year.
Yeah. So, with the state needing a lot of money, and you got a city, and they cut all the VLTs in the state, not just Saratoga.
Right.
So I honestly believe that it may.
But of all the cities they cut it, Saratoga's doing the best.
Yeah. Oh, no, exactly.
So, Monticello and Vernon Downs.
Right, and what's the other one out west? There's another one out west, Batavia.
Batavia.
Yeah, Batavia, and I don't know. It's going to be something to see, and next time you're on, we'll have a good handle on what's going on in the city here. Well, Wendy, thank you for being on today.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it. And so for our listeners, stay with us, and we'll have a good show on next Saturday. And be safe and enjoy this weather. We're supposed to get rain on Tuesday, but I tell you, it looks good for the rest of the week. So be good and have a great week.